No, we have to realize that's the devil trying to get us into fear, trying to manipulate it and control us. I just had this happen just recently. I mean, yesterday, I was with a group of friends. We were talking, just having a lot of fellowship. And all of a sudden, I said it before I even thought of it. I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me because the last couple of nights, I've been having anxiety seems to have been trying to come upon me about this building project that we're in. And about what happens if this happens, or what happens if the money doesn't come in, or what, and all this kind of thing. And when I stop and think about it naturally, they're kind of little things. They're no big things. But the enemy doesn't care. It doesn't have to be a big thing. If he can get us fretting over a little thing, he's just as pleased. If it's a big thing, well, it doesn't make any difference to him, long as we allow that spirit of fear and anxiety to come. So I said, I want you guys to pray for me right now. Because I'm in dealing with this thing, just harassing me. Wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm thinking about all these things in my mind, race and all the rest of it. And man, that thing lifted off of me just like that. Just like that. Praise the Lord. So these things can come upon us and make us think that it's us. That it's us. There can be a spirit of hatred come upon us. Of annoyance, something that I could suddenly I feel like hating somebody. It can come on us deceiving to make us think that it's us, but it's not. It's a devil that tries to get us to accept its influence. Remember, the devil is trying to get you to look like him. The same way the Father wants all his people to be transformed into the image of Christ. So there is a spirit of fear that we have to deal with. There's also a spirit of jealousy. Kind of taking this out of a context a little bit in order to teach this, but in this particular context, the teaching is talking about what to do with all kinds of, when all kinds of issues come up within people's lives. And this is talking about when a spirit of jealousy comes on a husband about his wife. But I wanted to note here, because I really believe there is such a thing as a spirit of jealousy. You know, there's a healthy, you use the word, I guess, there's a healthy jealousy that a man could have over his wife, where it's just simply, you know, she's mine. It's like when we were over in, I don't know if it was in Halifax or not, but I heard Ed Dufresne saying that, he said, I'm 70 years old and I'm going to live till I'm 90. I got a young wife and I don't want anybody else to get her. That's what he said. But there's a healthy love and care for your spouse and so forth. But then there are people who are just consumed with jealousy. And, you know, they might want never let their wife even out of their home without them because they're jealous of somebody might look at them or whatever. But it's totally not natural. It is a spirit of jealousy that comes upon them where they want to control and manipulate everything they do because they're jealous of them. That's a spirit of jealousy that happens. It's not something that's natural. And many people who have that will go through their whole life and wonder why they can't, just be at peace because their spirit of jealousy has gotten a hold of them. And they need deliverance, what they need. If you see anybody in excess when it comes to jealousy, they need deliverance. When you see fear, people in excess of that, they need deliverance. What I mean is they need the devil cast out of them. That spirit. And of course, when I say the devil, I mean a devil, not the devil. In Judges 9:23, the Bible says, God sent a spirit of ill will between Amalek and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dwelt treacherously with Amalek. God wanted to bring judgment upon Amalek. So what did he do? He sent a spirit of ill will between them. So there was a spirit that came, kind of manipulated them into feeling bad or causing strife toward one another because judgment day had come for Amalek. But it is a real spirit. Now, when you look at these scriptures in the Bible, I'm not a theologian. I read from theologians and some of the things that they say. But when I read that scripture, God sent a spirit of ill will. It almost seems out of character for God to send a spirit of ill will. I've heard it explained one time that in the Hebrew language there is there's not really a word for permissive will. In other words, instead of saying God allowed a spirit of ill will or God let a spirit of ill will take place, they say God sent a spirit of ill will because it seems like they in that language they didn't have that capability of being able to say God allowed it. It meant the same thing to them as God made it happen. And so what I'm thinking is that when judgment time comes, it's simply a matter of moving God's hand off the situation. That allows the enemy to come. Now, I know God's blessing is on my life. I know that. If I get into sin, if I get into sin and get away from God, does God have to send something to me? No, all he's got to do is move his hand of blessing off me. Because there's all kinds of devils just waiting to attack. So when you and I are walking with God, we know that we're under the blessing of God. So there is such a thing as a spirit of ill will. This is something that we have to think about when we're having a difficult time with maybe a coworker or somebody else. There's just something kind of doesn't click with us, and there's ill will all the time between us. Maybe there's a spirit involved that we're yielding to a bit. Now, every time we yield to a spirit of fear, a spirit of ill will, it doesn't mean that we are possessed by that. They can influence us from the outside a lot. Now, the more we agree with them, the more we open the door to them to come right in. We have the power to come against them. A bad spirit between two people. Do you ever hear that? Throughout the years of growing up, do you ever see two people? Oh, there's a bad spirit between those two. I've heard that. I used to hear it years ago, more than you do today. But that's simply what that meant. There could be a spirit of ill will between two people. Isaiah 19 talks about the spirit of Egypt will fail. Spirit of Egypt, of course, is another word for the spirit of the world that influenced everybody. Isaiah 29:10, for the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes, namely the prophets, and he has covered your heads, namely the seers. So there can be a spirit of deep sleep come upon us. This spirit of deep sleep seems to cause us not to be able to maybe get anything from the Word of God, or when it comes to being in a place of prayer, they will not seem to get any life in it. It'll seem like everything is dead, and it seems like they just can't connect with the Spirit, a spirit of deep sleep. What's actually happening is the spirit of deep sleep can come upon an individual to put them out of being able to be ministered to by the Spirit of God. This is kind of an exaggerated example, but I remember years ago, quite a number of years ago now, I was praying for a number of people, and this same individual, she came up for prayer quite a number of times, and it looked like the power of God would come on her, and just sometimes I wouldn't even lay hands on her, just walk by her, and it just seemed like somebody hit her in the head with a hammer and she was gone. I didn't quite know what that was. But today, when I look back at it, I'm convinced that what was happening was the demonic spirits that were working in her were in such a way that they were putting her out of commission so she wouldn't be ministered to by God. Now, in that particular situation, if I had that happen again in that way, knowing what I know today about it, I would have the ushers pick her up and begin to speak to her and begin to minister to her that way. Because a spirit can come on us sometimes in order to get us away from being ministered to by God. Now, if you happen to go down really quick when somebody's praying for you, don't start thinking that that's the case. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in this particular situation, that was the case. If that was the case with anybody of you here, I'd address it. Now, here's the other side of things. Of course, in Isaiah 11:2, it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, talking about Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, all these things, you and I have access to them. You and I are to be influenced by the Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord. I've had that spirit come on me from time to time, especially sometimes when I'm preaching, and I know I can tell when it comes on me. I can be preaching and ministering, and all of a sudden there is a fear of God upon me to say exactly what he wants me to say and don't hold anything back. Because sometimes when you're ministering to a lot of people and you're trying to preach the Word of God and it may be something difficult or something hard to say, there can be an intimidation come for you to please man. But when the spirit of fear of the Lord falls upon you, boy, you just suddenly you're more in fear of disobeying him than man. But that spirit can come upon us. I would to God that it came upon the church a whole lot more. John 14:17 said, "The spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The spirit of truth, of course, talking about the Holy Spirit. And we all know he's a real spirit. I mean, he influences. He's a real spirit. Now, think about this for a minute now. It says, "The spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Now, when you're talking to someone in the world, be very careful about going to counsel from somebody who's in the world, because he's not going to hear from the spirit of truth. Just flat out not going to hear from the spirit of truth. When you are doing things in the world with people of the world who are not saved, be really careful not to be taken in by their activities, because they cannot relate to the spirit of truth. They cannot. You and I must be careful. And what I simply mean by that is that if you're with somebody who's a worldly person and they're doing things according to the world, be careful. You may even be around them a lot. Be careful, because they do not know anything about the spirit of truth. They're working in the arena of the spirit of the world that's trying to take you in that way. And when you sense something on the inside that's wrong, you can bet you it's wrong. Have confidence in the leading of your spirit. Have confidence. God's on the inside of you. He can lead you. Isaiah 28:6, "Even a spirit of justice to him that's presided over justice." In other words, a judge will be given. In the kingdom of God system, a judge is given a spirit of justice. In other words, they are absolutely convicted in doing things the right way. Also, Isaiah 61:3 mentions Spirit of God coming to console those who mourn in Zion, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So there is a spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Do you ever be around people and they just seem real heavy under a dark cloud? They can be under that spirit of heaviness and they have a hard time to shake it off. You know, I don't know how many testimonies you hear about people who come to Christ sometimes, and when they say, "It just seemed like a weight came off my chest," or "a weight came off my back. It just seemed like a load was taken off me." Well, the spirit of heaviness many times can be upon people who are yielding to it. And it may have found a way in. It could be a tragedy in life that has happened in order to find a way into a person's life. And then the person embraced it, and then they took it as just part of who they are. "Well, I'm just kind of a gloomy person. I don't get real happy about anything. I don't get real joyful about anything." We have to think about saying stuff like that, because, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if we never have times of joy, are we really getting strengthened from the Lord? If we resign ourselves to suggest that we are just a gloomy person and we're supposed to be transformed into the image of Jesus, Jesus wasn't gloomy. The Bible talks about him rejoicing. I feel that Jesus had lots of good times with his disciples. We must make sure that we don't yield to that spirit of heaviness. What do I mean by yielding to the spirit of heaviness? Well, sometimes as Christians, I'm not talking now about somebody who is right under that spirit, but we can go through times when it seems like things are so heavy. It's important for us to remember now again that it's not us. It is a spirit that is trying to get on us. I remember this lady preaching one time. She was teaching about coming out of depression. She had a lot of bad depression. She was believing by faith to be delivered. She did get delivered. And she was just a different person. They're rejoicing in God and so forth. And then one day she said, all of a sudden that thing came back on her. And it seemed like she said, I stopped for a minute and I thought, oh no. And she said, it seemed so real. Every part of me, it affected my emotions, my soul realm. And that's what these spirits will do. They'll affect us so much that they'll convince us that that's happened to us again. We're back at it. But she knew the word of God, so she eventually said, "No, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you're not coming back on me again. That's not me. I've been delivered from that in Jesus' name." And that thing left again. See, it'll try to come back on us. I remember another minister who was ministering, and I was talking to him, having lunch with him, actually, the next day. And I was talking to him a bit, and he said to me, he said, this was a traveling minister, and he said, "Man," he said, "I got something to share with you, and I'm kind of embarrassed to share it," but he said, "I used to have a real problem with pornography, and I used to be into that kind of stuff, and it was, and I thought I had delivered from all that." But he said, "Last night I was praying for this lady, and when I prayed for her, she went down on the floor, and all of a sudden, lustful thoughts all started coming through my head." And he was just confessing what happened. He said, all just started coming through me. And I said, he said, I just started thinking, oh man, I thought I'd get rid of all that stuff. You know, like he was really down about it because it seemed like it come back on him. And I just sensed the Holy Spirit tell me to tell him, "Brother, just because you feel that, just because that spirit is around there and you feel it, doesn't mean it's you. Doesn't mean that you've entered into it." I said, "It could have been on that lady. It could have been on her. And it tried to get on you." And it turned out, through a number of circumstances, and that later on we found out that she was in adultery, that particular person that he was praying for. But that spirit that was on her was trying to get on him again. And that spirit probably recognized that he had a weakness in that area. So he would try to get in there. And so when that happens, we have to realize, no, that's not me. That is not me. In the name of Jesus, you lying devil, get out of here. The same way is when we need to forgive someone. If we need to forgive someone, we come before the Lord and say, "God, I forgive that person. I pray for them now. I release them. God, I just totally forgive them for everything that they did to me. I forgive them." Then the next time you see them, something wells up. "Oh, there's that fellow again. He did that to me." Well, if we're smart, then we say, "No, that's not me. I forgave that individual. In the name of Jesus, you lying devil of unforgiveness, get out of here."